This is Long Term Memory Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. For the next hour, we will be taking an in-depth look at the 7th Annual Anarchist Book Fair, which took place Saturday, May 20th in Montreal, Quebec. This documentary will showcase the principles behind the book fair, an interview with a member of the collective that organizes the book fair, and a series of interviews that were recorded the day of the book fair with some of its many participants. In addition to the day upon which over 100 vendors converged to exchange their publications, the book fair is comprised of, or linked to, other events. On Sunday, May 21st, there was a series of two-hour workshops held in French and English on subjects ranging from radical feminist approach to couples to the Icarus Project's community-based approach to mental health. The book fair is also linked to the Festival of Anarchy, a variety of events that took place throughout the month of May, ranging from a mass demonstration denouncing Guantanamo North to an anarchist cabaret the night before the book fair. The Montreal Anarchist Book Fair is among the biggest of its kind in North America. It attracts vendors, readers, and curious wanderers from all over Canada and the world.
The book fair featured over 100 distributors. Local groups included the Anarchist Black Cross Federation of Montreal, the Anarchist People of Color, Anti-Capitalist Ass Pirates, Blood Sisters, CKUT, the Collectif Opposé à la Brutalité Policière, the Concordia Community Solidarity Co-op Bookstore, DIRA, Eco-Société, the Northeastern Federation of Anarchist Communists, Féministes CVM, Head and Hands, Indigenous People Solidarity Movement, the Infringement Festival, the International Two Spirits Gathering, La Mauvaise Herbe, La Autre Campagne, La Presse Anarchiste au Québec, Les Pages Noires, Les Sorcières, Libertaires, Librairie L'Insoumise, Midnight Kitchen Food Collective, No One Is Illegal, Personne N'est Illégal, Open Door Books, People's Potato, Cuper Concordia, Queer Peoples of Color Montreal, La Rubrique, Solidarity Across Borders, the South Asian Women's Community Center, Stella, and The Dominion. Distributors from out of town included the AK Press from Oakland, California, Albany Free School from Albany, New York, Autonomy Media from Brooklyn, New York, The Beehive Collective from Machias, Maine, Books Through Bars from New York City, New York, Casa Amsterdam from Amsterdam, Netherlands, Citizens of the World from Trottier Mills, Quebec, the Comisión de Relaciones Anarquistas from Caracas, Venezuela, Homeless Nation from Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, the Icarus Project from New York City, New York, Industrial Workers of the World from Ottawa, Outaoué, Industrial Workers of the World Literature Department from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Institute for Anarchist Studies from New York City, New York, South End Press from Boston, Massachusetts, and Uprising Books from Toronto, Ontario. Zine distributors included Blackheart Magazine, Egg Sandwich Press, Fish Piss, Distrobato, Good Words Distro, The Infiltration Zine, Lickety Split, Street Eaters, Subversions, and Volatile Works.
The Anarchist Book Fair Collective takes on the greater part of the many tasks involved in organizing the book fair. Over the years, they have developed a number of principles that guide the event. Some of these principles read as follows. The Anarchist Book Fair Collective affirms and promotes values of mutual aid, direct democracy, anti-authoritarianism, autonomy, and solidarity. We reiterate our opposition to capitalism, imperialism, patriarchy, heterosexism, racism, colonialism, statism, and all other forms of oppression. We will not accept anyone to participate in the Anarchist Book Fair that perpetuates or promotes these attitudes. Priority within the book fair itself will be on the written word, such as books, pamphlets, zines, audiovisual materials by groups including publishers, distributors, and action-oriented groups, as well as individuals. We will also accept, on a case-by-case basis, participation from community activist groups, small publishers, and vendors of materials such as buttons, t-shirts, or patches who fit within these principles. Our priority in seeking out distributors will be on materials in French, English, and Spanish. We will work to ensure that there are materials available at the book fair in languages other than English, particularly in French. We do not accept the participation of political parties in the book fair.
We'll be right back. Dylan Hudson, was a member of the Anarchist Book Fair Collective. Could you describe how and when the collective came into existence?
Well, the collective came into existence in the year leading up to the first book fair in Montreal. So that was leading up to the 2000 book fair. I wasn't actually around at that point, so I can't definitively tell you whether it was the beginning of 2000 or the end of 99 when that happened. But from what I'm told from collective members around at the time was that people who knew each other through various anarchist organizing in the city just felt that it was something that was missing in Montreal and something from which both the anarchist community would benefit as a place to come together, but also the community at large, the Montreal population at large and beyond, could have an opportunity to have anarchist ideas and projects showcased. There were already book fairs in existence in San Francisco and in London, England, from which people were drawing their inspiration, and they basically just came together and decided it would be a good idea to do something like this in Montreal as well. So they did.
How many similar book fairs are currently in existence, and was there a model that this was based on?
Well, certainly people that started up the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair drew their inspiration from San Francisco and from London. I'm actually unclear if people had attended those book fairs in person, but their reputation precedes them, both of those events. As for the other part of your question, how many there are around, the number seems to be growing. There's one in San Francisco and one in London, England, one in Paris, France. But around North America, it seems to be a growing phenomenon. There's now one in Edmonton, one in Toronto, one that's known as the New England Book Fair, which I believe happens in Amherst, Massachusetts. And so it seems that, and these last few ones in North America have come into existence since the Montreal Book Fair. So it seems that it's something that people are seeing and thinking, hey, this is a good formula. This is a good way of having an anarchist gathering around the concept of having a book fair. Because in each of these gatherings, there's the book fair proper, right? Like tables where vendors are selling books and people are giving away pamphlets and this type of thing. But there's also workshops and other activities surrounding it. So it's growing into a gathering. And one of the organizers of the San Francisco Anarchist Book Fair, who's also a regular vendor at the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair in his capacity as a member of AK Press, has said that while the San Francisco Anarchist Book Fair is the largest in terms of the number of book tables, Montreal's is, as far as he can tell, the largest anarchist gathering. So once you add in all that other stuff besides the books, Montreal is the biggest.
Among the principles of the Montreal Book Fair, there is a stated emphasis on the written word. Could you explain a bit where that principle came from and what it means in terms of the book fair?
Sure. Well, on the more sort of mundane nuts and bolts side, that principle and the wording of it came out of a discussion of what tables were going to be prioritized at the book fair. We have a perpetual space problem insofar as we try and make the book fair as accessible as possible. We want the space to be in a popular neighborhood. We don't want to charge money for people to come into the book fair, although we do ask for donations and get quite a lot of them. So that limits the space that we can rent, and thus the size of the hall, and thus there's never enough space for anyone. At a certain point, we had to have the discussion of, well, if people have books, but people also have items that they're using to fundraise, like let's say a group wants to have a table so they can have a bake sale, or people are selling t-shirts, buttons, patches, there's inevitably always one or more punk labels that want to come and sell CDs. And at a certain point, we just said, well, maybe we should go back to basics, and it is a book fair. So part of the idea is that we're trying to disseminate anarchist and anarchist-related publications or the written word. So that's sort of where that comes from.
Could you describe a bit the connection between the book fair and the day of workshops that followed on the Sunday, as well as the Festival of Anarchy?
Sure. The day of workshops, well, on the day of the book fair, the Saturday, there's always been workshops as well. And those attempt to introduce people to the idea of anarchism. One of the main purposes behind the book fair is that it's not just for anarchists. It's for anyone who's curious about anarchism, interested in finding out more. So they can do that through buying books, picking up pamphlets, talking to the vendors, talking to other people attending the book fair. But we always thought it was important to have workshops that answer the question, well, what is anarchism anyway? What do anarchists do? So, but then the Sunday workshops aim to look at a topic in depth, And over the years, we sort of seem to have gotten more towards questions internal to anarchist organizing, anarchist history, sort of more in-depth workshops, if you want to sort of break it down into in-depth versus introductory. We've always been open to anything that's more in-depth. It can be more hands-on as well. We've had some how-to workshops and stuff like that. The Festival of Anarchy is, I'm glad you asked that question because it brings up something that I wanted to touch on. With the book fair overall, there is the collective that I'm part of, but we always have seen it as something for, by and for the anarchist community. So we really encourage other anarchists, be they organizations or individuals, to take this opportunity of people coming together for the book fair to plan their own activities. And the Festival of Anarchy is sort of the formal aspect of that, insofar as we encourage other groups to organize activities throughout the month of May. And we, the Book Fair Collective, offer to coordinate that insofar as people send us when their events are happening. And we put out a calendar with everything. And we also try and let people know when each other are planning events so we don't get anything double booked. And it seems to be growing over the last few years. This year, I found we had a spread throughout the month of May, both before and after the book fair itself, of book launches, benefit shows, speakers, movie nights, organized by individuals and organizations within the anarchist milieu in Montreal.
What are some of the main lessons learned from one book fair to the next?
I wish there was a simple answer to that. You know, I find the book fair is always growing. It's never been quite the same each year. Probably this past year is the first year that I would say it hasn't grown in size, right? Like in terms of the number of people attending it. But it's always changing. And again, to come back to what I was saying earlier in terms of us wanting the community to sort of take ownership of the book fair, we're still definitely learning how to make that happen, because inevitably the collective that is the organizing collective is going to have a certain amount of power and a certain amount of knowledge and you know, access to the tools of organizing the book fair. But we really, you know, want people to participate in the organizing and see it as their book fair. It's not our book fair, the 10 or so of us that are in the collective, but it's the community's book fair. And so over time, we're attempting to learn lessons about what are relevant questions, you know, as we solicit and then approve workshops and then get feedback from people attending the book fair as to which workshops they appreciated, which ones they felt were missing. Lots of lessons about accessibility. In the past couple of years, there's been a much stronger children's program, and I feel that's something that personally I've learned a lot from. You know, from parents, from the children themselves, from people that have more experience organizing with children and organizing children's activities. You know, a lot to be learned just from the logistics of organizing an event that big. It's attended by about 1,000 people.
Any anecdotes about the book fair that have stuck with you over time?
I have many. I really had trouble thinking of, you know, one or even a couple of anecdotes that encompass the book fair and, you know, would give sort of a sketch of it overall. I guess in trying to think of one, what struck me is that the book fair is really a time that I feel like a lot of people have come to sort of see as a high point in the year, or like a special time in the year, much as like holidays are. I mean, I jokingly call the book fair Anarchist Christmas sometimes, insofar as there's people that come in from a variety of cities. There's people that, you know, while they do live in Montreal, don't necessarily see all that same group of people at once. And so there's a real feeling of camaraderie and a real feeling of togetherness that I find the book fair has come to take on over the years. And, you know, I have my own personal anecdotes of, you know, workshops that I found particularly inspiring, such as Bo Brown or Ashanti Olsen's workshops a couple of years ago. There's, you know, panels that for me have been instrumental in answering certain questions that have been preoccupying me or deepening my understanding of particular strategic questions. There's also, you know, anecdotes of things that have happened with out-of-town friends that have come in for the book fair. There's a child in my life who was born between the first and second book fair. I first met his father. Mother's a friend of mine. I first met his father at the first book fair. And that family has stayed at my house every year at the book fair, and it's sort of become our little family tradition. So, you know, that's not an anecdote that necessarily has meaning to other people. But I just say that to illustrate that I think that, you know, there's probably, for every person that attends the book fair regularly, there's anecdotes like that out there.
Is there anything that you want to add?
I just want to let people know that it's not too early to start thinking about the 2007 book fair already. We haven't officially hammered out the date yet, but it's usually the May 2-4 weekend, the long weekend in May. And we've already reserved the hall where we usually have the book fair, the Seda Community Center in Little Burgundy, for that weekend. So likely it'll be there, and people can keep checking back to our website, which is anarchistbookfair.tactic.org. That's Anarchist Book Fair, all one word, no www.taktic.org. And over the course of the year, we'll be posting, you know, the deadline for workshops, how to go about getting a table if you're a vendor. Seems like a long way off, but those deadlines do always seem to sneak up on people. So keep checking back if you're interested.
My name is Paula Valina. I've been doing this zine, Street Eaters, for the past 6 years in Montreal, about trying to do once a month, about five different collaborators. It's been a total pleasure. I'm at like issue 37 at this point today, and I think it's gonna slowly fade, but I'm definitely an advocate for the fact that zines could be long-term and that you could continually, there's so many people that you could just publish and like small press and making chapbooks of poetry and stuff. Definitely a big fan of self-publishing. I made this book today. This is like really a big new project for me. I collected a whole bunch of surrealist games that I played with my friends and that I invented with my friends, and that are some famous ones in there too, like the Exquisite Corpse.
Yeah, tell us about the Exquisite Corpse. How do you do that?
It's really simple. I think most people have probably played it already, right? It's like you write a line and you leave the last word showing, but you fold over the paper, and then you pass it to the next person, and they write a line, and then you fold it, and then you read it at the end. I think all the games, I'm really interested in surrealism and just playing with like imagination and unpredictability and spontaneity and immediatism. And so I hand carved like about 10 stamps to go with the book. Spent like a lot of work like assembling them, like something I love more than coming to the Anarchist Book Fair and like just knowing that I spent lots of time doing handmade books and like handmade, and like just, I don't know, it's like doing work on stuff that I really love, which is I get to share with other people. It's a great opportunity. It's my fifth year coming to the fair, and like it's my favorite time of year, like no doubt. I always, so many good conversations going on, and just good people, and like very supportive people.
And so maybe, how would you describe that from your perspective, the spirit of this entire affair, and if it's different in the zine room, or if it's pretty much...
Well, last night was the first time they had an anarchist cabaret, and it was totally like carnival style, and there was a lot of good energy going on, and just like excitement. I think the energy of the zine fair, like people just want to get into conversations and are talking about stuff that they're really passionate about, and talking about a world that they want that they're really passionate about. And I've been making zines for 6 years, and like the change that it had on me, that I have access to publish my own stuff and like make my own books, has like, there's no doubt that it's changed my view of how I can be in the world, and I can do it myself. Like I just made a spoken word CD with my friend, and hand carved stamps for that too. Like the accessibility to make these things, which reflect things that I think about and that I do, it's really empowering. So I think all of us are inspired about that kind of empowerment and reaching out to each other and conversing. Like, it's so key to finally like meet people and talk. Very important to meet with other people for sure, and like to share ideas and share inspirations and share hope and faith. And I'm like, I've been doing this zine for 6 years. It's like, you can do it. It's very easy, and people love it. So,
great, thank you, Paula. And where do we get street theaters?
It's available at Esperanza, at Cafe Joe. There's like 9 places around the city, but you can check out www.streeteaters.com. Street Eaters, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Tell us what Midnight Kitchen is up to today.
Today, the Midnight Kitchen has been catering for the Anarchist Book Fair, so we spent Thursday and Friday doing all the cooking. We made tons and tons of wraps, veggie pate, hummus, black bean and rice. We made different kinds of cakes. We made fruit salad and carrot sticks, celery sticks for the kids. So a whole bunch of food, all vegan.
And there's been a really good turnout. People are hungry.
Yeah, there's been a great turnout. And coffee, which of course gets a huge turnout.
Awesome. And the kids have been, there's like special platters for kids or what?
Yeah, we did. We just prepared for the kids. We just made raw veggies and hummus and juice and fruit salad.
Is it juice boxes?
No, we made big jugs, big batches of juice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so where do you see the food part fitting into the Anarchist Book Fair and Midnight Kitchen's role?
In a few different aspects. One of them, we serve only vegan food. And the Midnight Kitchen, it's a volunteer-run collective, so it's non-hierarchical, all of our decision-making is collective. The food that we get is, most of it is by donation. Like, we go to different markets and vendors around the city, and we ask if they have food that would otherwise be wasted. So in that way, it's sort of anti-capitalist sort of mindset, where we get food that's perfectly fine but would otherwise be wasted, and that's what we use for produce. A lot of other stuff is donated, and so and then food, it's, everybody needs to eat, and the way we cook and the way we operate is anti-capitalist and anarchist in ideology. And then by serving food at different events like this, we support other organizations and other things going on in the community. The Midnight Kitchen, it's run out of McGill, so we have an office in the Shatner Building, which is on McTavish, just north of Sherbrooke, if anybody wants to contact us. And during the school year, the Midnight Kitchen we were serving 3 days a week, and everybody is welcome, students and non-students alike. We serve, it's pay if as you can, vegan lunches. And so I invite you all to come out and eat with us. We have some zines, and we've been working on a cookbook. And like, if there's different catering events that come up and we have enough people around to do it, we'll do that. So sort of see how it goes. We can do a few different projects over the summer and get ready for the fall when we start up again.
So where can we get more information for Midnight Kitchen?
You can contact us by email. It's mk underscore info@riseup.net, or you can come to Shatner, which is on McTavish, just north of Sherbrooke, and our office is 416.
Can you tell us about your table and what you're presenting?
Okay, what we have here today is basically most of the campaigns in which we participated throughout a year. Sorry.
What's going on next to us? Can you tell us what?
Well, Dan is playing with kids. He's both tabling and doing childcare at the same time. So he's kind of sprawled across the table now, and the kids jumping on him. And he's sitting on this article by CAPMA, which is the group that we worked in collaboration for shortly to raise awareness about the Mapuche struggle in Chile and Argentina. So we have something by them. We also have Native Solidarity Notes, which is the newsletter that we publish with the IPSM, and it also contains like the most recent updates from the Gamasutake struggle and the court cases that resulted from the January 12 invasion of the police station. And we also have a lot of stuff on Six Nations. Like if you look, the table is really themed around it very much today. Here's the fundraiser piece that is really like the best articles that were written about the Six Nations throughout what was going on, and we just put it together and we compiled it and we sell it as a fundraiser for the Six Nations.
Okay, so it's called Documents from the Struggle at Six Nations?
That's it. But if people are interested in just going online and just getting a copy of the PDF, like that can be done as well. The website is www.lefrigovert.ca. Also tomorrow we're going to have a solidarity room with the Six Nations, which is going to start at 10 o'clock here in room 305. And it's going to be basically a day of activity, banner making, videos, people who have been to Six Nations and who are going to give us the latest updates. There's going to be a discussion about the racist backlash that we saw in Caledonia as the barricades went on. So, there's definitely great if people showed up there. There's also the fundraising is going to continue. So,
you're tabling for IPSM. It's the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement. Maybe just talk a little bit about what the group stands for and why you are tabling at the Anarchist Book Fair today.
Basically, the group stands for, like it says in the name, for the solidarity with the Indigenous people. And it's basically solidarity with the struggles against colonialism and different grassroots initiatives that the neighboring communities are part of. For example, we supported the Midwinter Harvest in Tayandanega, which is kind of far, but still. Also, we supported the Kanasitake community when they were under the siege after the police invasion on January 12th. We also stand for the decolonization, which is a large term that covers many things. But in our day-to-day work, it basically implies a lot of education and a lot of workshops about what constitutes colonialism and its different mechanisms. For example, the pillars that it relies on, like capitalism, patriarchy, and imperialism, and dismantling those, and also learning how to take note of them in our daily life and how to address them, and what does the decolonization movement would mean. And so far, like, it had great results. I mean, we have IPSM Winnipeg now, not to attribute like their existence to our existence or whatever, but it is very important to do it nationwide and to make those links.
So maybe just present yourselves and tell us what your table's about.
I'm Sabina.
And I'm Erin.
We're with Books to Prisoners, Montreal, or Open Door Books.
We have used books that we're selling, just books that for by donation that we can't send to prisoners just because maybe they're too bulky or they're too old or too irrelevant. And then we have lots of flyers about prison issues because it's sort of about awareness too.
And so you're both involved in this collective?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it's run by volunteers.
It's all volunteer based. We're just like four or five main members, I guess.
Yeah. I'll give you us in a nutshell. That we send books to prisoners across North America. We're currently really trying to get books into Canadian prisons. Yeah. So I guess it's about awareness, education. There are tons of prisoners even here in Quebec. And yeah, it's just about getting the word out and breaking down the wall between the inside and the outside.
Getting ideas of prisoner issues, and also it has been a good day of making connections with other groups in Canada that are doing similar work and getting more information so we can improve our projects as well.
How can we get more information?
Getting more information? Well, we're always looking for volunteers and donations, and you can get more information at bookstoprisoners@excite.com, and it's all lowercase, bookstoprisoners@excite.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything you guys want to add?
Elizabeth has made beautiful Emma Goldman and Peter Kropotkin posters, and yeah, they're wonderful. She's selling them actually as sort of a half fundraiser for us. So,
and they're bright pink.
And they're bright pink. What could you ask for?
Great. Thanks, guys.
Since the beginning of the book fair, we thought it was important to have childcare and to have free childcare so that parents could participate. But over the years, we noticed that that's not really enough to just say, here's a room, you can leave your kids, because it's got to be fun for the kids as well. It's got to be meaningful for the kids. Here we are for this weekend trying to like build community, trying to share ideas, trying to like have an exchange about anarchist thought. It's not really good enough to just like dump your kids in a room. So last year, a group of people came together autonomously from the collective that organizes the book fair and put together a program of kids' activities. This year the plan was to do that again, but fairly last minute, some of those folks had other commitments. So what's happened this year is a very heartening show of support from volunteers last minute. Myself being on the Book Fair Collective, I was able to coordinate things, but not really take on, you know, organizing everything, and a lot of people came out of the woodwork to just put together the activities that we have today.
Okay. And so how's it working out so far?
So far so good. Probably hear some kids in the background. We have the childcare room, which is just kind of open format. There's volunteers, there's toys, there's snacks, and parents can either just come and hang out with their kids or they can leave their kids here. There's also a craft room, an arts and craft room. It's also going on all day, both days. And then aside from that, there's been some activities that are just sort of specific to a time. A lot of those unfortunately got rained out because a lot of them were outdoor activities. The planned kite flying didn't happen, and I'm not sure how many people showed up to the bike repair workshop. But who knows, maybe it'll be nicer tomorrow.
But it doesn't look like the kids mind very much.
No,
I think they're having a blast, would you say?
Well, this is it. You get a whole bunch of kids together and keep them reasonably happy, you know, have some toys, have some adults in case anything goes awry, and the kids will amuse themselves, which is what's happening.
And maybe you can comment on the Anarchist Book Fair being child-friendly.
Yeah, well, we want to create a space especially for kids with this program, but we want the whole space to be somewhere where kids can go. Number one, from the point of view that some anarchist parents just want to raise their kids that way, like, here we are at this event, go do whatever you want to do. And number two, from the point of view that older kids might want to actually just check out some of the stuff that's not kid-specific, right? Like, they might want to go look at the art, they might want to sit in a workshop, they might want to check out some books. So we just try and make sure everything's relatively safe in terms of, like, you know, no sharp corners and broken glass or tripping hazards, but also in terms of our approach to security, we have a really, like, de-escalating type of approach. Try and make an allergy-free zone in terms of no nuts, no scents, which, you know, make it safer for everybody, but also with the idea of child-friendliness in mind. There's also a number of discussions going on throughout the weekend aimed at parents, but open to everybody, about parenting in an anarchist way, parenting in an anarchist community context, alternatives to the school system, whether that's homeschooling or starting free schools. There was a movie showing earlier today that's put out by the Albany Free School, which is like a very well-established free school. So, yeah, hopefully people can look at what's happening here this weekend as a model for, like, child-raising strategies in a broader context. Yeah, love babies, but also I think part of the philosophy is that I don't know, there's that cheesy phrase, it takes a whole village to raise a child. As anarchists, we're trying to support each other as a community in everything we do, and so for anarchist parents, hopefully that means the non-parents such as myself and such as the Book Fair Collective as an organization can support that that aspect of our community.
Great, thank you. What are you here for? What's your name, where are you from, and what is your table all about?
My name is Larissa. I am here at the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair, the 7th annual. I am tabling here on behalf of the Concordia Community Solidarity Co-op Bookstore. And this is our first time tabling at the book fair, and it's not my first time here, but first time as a tabling. And surprisingly, it's going pretty well. You know, we thought, you know, anarchists, activists, they don't have money. They're not going to buy anything. And that's okay. They can just look around, get a flyer. But in the end, people are buying stuff. Amazing. Because we're all about making education more accessible by selling under suggested retail books and whatnot.
Cool. More information can be found, as well as membership inquiries can be found, I assume, on the internet?
Yes, they can. They can be found at www.coop.com. With the dash between the two O's, bookstore.ca, and also in-store, and the store right now and until further notice is in Concordia's Hall building underneath Reggie's Pub in the basement on De Maisonneuve.
And earlier you were talking about a baby boom in anarchist
world. Yeah, holy crap, there's a lot of babies here. Like newborns to like five-year-olds, there's a lot of kids. And I think that there's been a recent anarchy baby boom. Like the next generation of state smashers have taken up the fight, you know. Some of them can't speak yet, but you know, they look like they know what it's about.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything you want to add?
My biological clock is ticking, but I have yet to have a state smasher in my room.
Tell us your names
and who you are. I'm Stephanie. I work at Stella. I'm also one of the hosts for Audio Smut at CKUT.
I'm Amber. I'm one of the hosts of Audio Smut at CKUT as well, and I also do a zine called Lickety Split, which is a smut zine. Lickety Split is all. It is sex positive. It strives to be pansexual in its approach, which means that it's not geared particularly to one identity, sexuality, preference, or anything like this. And it's collaborative, so there's 15 plus people who are involved with each issue. And the photo shoots are also quite collaborative, and there's not we're trying to erase the line between photographer and model.
You have a table in there?
In the zine room.
In the zine room? What's on your table?
Well, there's copies of the second and third issue of the zine, which comes out once a year, so there's only three issues. The first issue is sold out, and the third issue is being handed out and being stamped each time. So it's like a small personal kind of document for each person. Yeah, and also a small little erotic comic strip that I made with photos myself. Yeah.
And maybe you could talk about Stella.
Yes. Stella is a sex worker organization, a by and for sex worker organization. I just finished a dope guide. It's a guide that talks about sex work and drug and alcohol use and, you know, all kinds. Seriously, it touches everything. And it talks about trying to stay as much as possible in control, you know, in your work and in your drug use or alcohol use. So I just finished that. Now I'm doing outreach work, and my mandate is the strip clubs mostly, although I do everything. Like we go in the streets, we go in escort agency, massage parlor and all that. But mainly my sort of specialty, if you can say, is the stripper. So, and we go there, and right now what I want to do is try to work really hard on the working conditions, because since the lab dancings and, you know, $10 dances arrived, we noticed a huge change in the working conditions for dancers, and it's deteriorate really bad in the last years. So the girls are not paid anymore a salary, although they, you know, they're there and they do stages and stuff, so they only make money from dances, and they have to pay the bars and all kinds of things like that, you know. So working hard on that, we're trying to get the CSST as well, I don't know how you say that in English, but to compensate women like strippers when they hurt themselves, which happened a lot, because if you were workers' compensation. If you wear those big high heels, trust me, you can't get hurt. Yeah. Constellation, the Constellation Prison, Constellation 10th Anniversaire, et Santé that I brought here, and we have the Guide 3X, Guide Striptease, and the Dope Guide. Sex workers, it's for sex workers, so you can get all these guides at Stella, yeah. And Constellation, we sell them for, you know, non-sex workers. The guys, we can, because it's really money given by the government for that, so we're not, you know, we don't sell this at all. So, yes, people can call at Stella, 285-1599, if they need, you know, to contact us. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anything else?
No, it's good.
Would you like to introduce yourself and what you're involved with here for the book fair?
Sure, yeah. I'm here. I'm tabling for the CRA, which is the Comisión de Relaciones Anarquistas de Venezuela, the Commission of Anarchist Relations in Venezuela. I was there earlier this year in January. I attended the Alternative Social Forum, which was the alternative forum to the World Social Forum that was on at the same time. And I agreed to come back to do some fundraising for them and to distribute some materials. So I have some of their newspapers here and different things to sell for them.
That's great. And can you tell me a little bit about the Alternative Social Forum and how that came about?
Sure, the Alternative Social Forum was put on by the CRA, the collective, along with other local collectives and activists in Caracas and in Venezuela. So it was an autonomously run and funded thing. It was meant to be an alternative to the World Social Forum, which was a great event, a huge event, yes, where many people came to exchange great ideas. But the problem their critique is that this event has become kind of an advertisement for the Chavez government to sort of show how progressive they are and how radical their revolution is and so on, which kind of obfuscates, which draws attention away from some of the negative things that are going on still in the country. Because indeed there are some big problems in the countryside with accelerated resource extraction projects that are basically being used to fund the state revolution. So there are some good programs and things happening, yes, in Venezuela with the leftist government, but it has a price. And some of the people that are paying this price happen to be the people that live in the countryside, indigenous peoples who are being dislocated because of these dams, coal mines, oil extraction projects.
So what kind of activities is the CRA involved with outside of the Alternative Social Forum?
Negotiable. They publish this newspaper here, El Libertario, every 2 months. It's been going for 10 years, and it has quite a wide readership in Caracas, from what I understand. And they organize events in the city. And
so how are you trying to continue working with these people with the CRA now?
Well, I came home and I said, okay, I will help fundraise a little bit. Then I brought back these newspapers to sell, and it was just pretty much that. And then we had this idea where we were going to invite one of the collective members to Montreal to come and speak and talk about the situation and explain better than I can right now all of this. And so we fundraised the money and we got him a plane ticket, and a few days before, he was going to be here now at the book fair doing a panel discussion later and so on, but unfortunately a few days before the flight his visa was denied for unexplained reasons. So what we are trying to do now is we're rescheduling this for October, and in the coming months we are going to have a screening of this film, which is about the oil extraction, the state oil extraction projects in
And the movie is called Our Oil and Other Tales, or Nuestro Petróleo y Otros Cuentos. It was an Italian collective that made it. And anyways, we're going to be screening this movie, and we will have the collective members come up in probably in October. We're hoping in October.
That sounds wonderful.
Yes, we hope it works out.
I have a year off.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
So hi, I'm Jessie from CKUT, and we're here with South Bend Press at the Anarchist Book Fair. I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. I'm Alexander Dwinell. I'm part of the editorial collective at South Bend Press. We're a radical publisher based out of Cambridge and Boston, Massachusetts in the U.S. Here we have a table of all the books that we've published, including our newest book, American Methods, which just came out this month, the critique of U.S. torture as policy, saying how it's not a deviation from normal practices, but it is the normal practices, and it's informed by a culture of like sexism and misogyny.
And what brings you to the book fair here in Montreal from such a long way?
It's a really good place to come out and meet people and sort of sell the books directly to people rather than the stores, and able to like talk to people about why we're publishing the books, and when people have read them, find out like what they've gained from them or critiques they have of them.
As a book publisher trying to publicize radical materials, how does that work go for you guys?
Even though we're a nonprofit press and a radical press, we still have to pay the same bills and rents as everyone in the for-profit industry. But we're also committed to like trying to have a sustainable workplace, and we have balanced job complexes and try to have like sustainable wages. So it's actually more of a challenge for us as a radical publisher than for the for-profit one, because we have ethics to compete with. And we're willing and feel it's necessary to work with like new authors and bring people out that aren't just going to sell their names on books alone. Bell Hooks, we published her first works when no one knew who she was. So now when we bring one out, we have one coming out next month, it's very easy to sell in. But it took 25 years of selling books and like her touring around and building up her name and her reputation to be able to get to that level. The corporate publishers don't really look for that level of person. They don't have that willingness to support ideas, worthy ideas.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Or? It's really packed here, and there's so many people coming around and just like interest in books in a time when a lot of people are really questioning like the value of the written word and printed words, and seeing so many people coming to something that's explicitly a book fair and being interested in the idea. It's a little bit of encouragement.
Now people are starting to line up at the table, but I just want to get one more question in. Could you give us a quick sense of the scale of South End Press? Like how many books are being published a year? How many employees are working at South End Press?
Sure, we do 6 to 10 books a year on average. We're about 4.5 people in the collective right now. Someone's just coming back from maternity leave and is working part-time. We do everything like ourselves, you know, all the editing, the design of the books, the typesetting, paying the bills, cleaning the bathroom if we get around to that. So there's a lot to do, but it's good.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
What are you representing today?
Well, we're here with Head in Hands, which is a youth organization with a bunch of different programs. We have medical clinics, legal clinics, we have therapists. We also give workshops on sex ed, relationship building, drug ed. We have a youth drop-in center. We have a young parents program. We have street workers. We do a needle exchange, intervention, prevention. And then we try and run as many workshops as we can, to promote youth empowerment. So whether that's a zine-making workshop, a scrimp-preaching workshop, whatever we can do with the budget that we have, we try and do it.
And maybe you could tell us what's on the table here. Maybe you could talk about this poster or the pile of condoms, whatever.
Okay, well, we got a bunch of vaginas on a poster on our table, which is not actually catching as many people as we were hoping. But we have our pamphlets, we have condoms that we give away free, and then we have...
What's this here?
That's gloves.
From the Aspirants?
From Aspirants, yeah. So they hopped on our table. We have information on how to inject drugs safely and use drugs safely. We have information on STIs. We also have pamphlets on rights when dealing with the police, specifically around racial profiling, so racism and the police. And then we have it all, yeah.
So headsandhands.ca for more info, I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you wanted to add?
CKUT rocks.
So tell us who you are and what your table is.
My name's Craig. I'm with the steering committee of the International Two-Spirit Gathering, which this year is going to be held in the Laurentians in September.
What's that about, this Two-Spirit Gathering? It's open for allies and Two-Spirit people?
Mainly it's for Aboriginal people who self-identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, Two-Spirit. Mainly to give them a sort of safe space to gather. A lot of communities are very homophobic right now, and so it's sort of creating a space for them to get together and do ceremonies and also just sort of hang out.
Okay. And where can people who are interested in doing this get more information on the internet?
Yes, on our website. We have a website. It's a bit complicated. It's twospiritgathering2006.bravehost.com, and there's stuff about our upcoming fundraisers that we have. We just did a really fantastic drag show at Cleopatra's, and we have concerts and stuff coming up. And so the information about the gathering and about the fundraisers are on the website.
Okay, so maybe I'll just explain that it's http://2 the number 2 spiritgathering2006.bravehost, BRAVEHOST.com.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Peut-être que tu peux nous parler de ton exposition et puis ton rôle ici aujourd'hui.
Bien, en ce moment, j'anime la table du PASC, projet accompagnement Solidarité Colombie. C'est un collectif montréalais qui fait de la solidarité directe avec des communautés paysannes en résistance en Colombie. Donc, c'est pour nous une façon de lier la lutte anticapitaliste de façon concrète. Puis ici, on est là bien, pour faire savoir au monde, parce qu'on a besoin d'un réseau de solidarité ici, pour réussir à faire des pressions pour concrètement sauver des vies puis donner de l'espace. Fait que ici on a de la musique, des communautés qui racontent leur histoire, on a des livres écrits par la communauté, des articles écrits par du monde ici, des mémoires d'accompagnatrices écrits par du monde ici et des chandails pour se financer parce que c'est le beau commerce de l'anarchie aujourd'hui.
Et puis, peut-être que tu peux parler un peu de peut-être un des débats en ce moment en Colombie. Qu'est-ce que vous... En fait, vous êtes solidaire avec quelle sorte de problème en ce moment qui est courant là?
OK, bien en ce moment, concrètement, mais en fait, depuis quelques années, il y a l'État avec sa stratégie militaire et sa stratégie légale paramilitaire qui vole les terres du monde, des paysans, paysannes, pour mettre des grosses monocultures, couper la forêt, puis tout le kit là, anti-écologique, puis tout ce qu'on peut bien détester. Puis, je simplifie là, rapide, parce qu'on fait des conférences de 3 heures sur le sujet. Là. Puis, il y a des communautés qui ont décidé qu'elles allaient dénoncer l'État, mais qu'elles, elles ne voulaient pas prendre une position armée, qu'elles voulaient être une population civile qui lutte pour son droit à la terre, puis à l'autodétermination. Fait que c'est ceux qui ont décidé. Puis, pour ça, ils demandent un accompagnement spécifique, c'est-à-dire une présence internationale en tant que protection, puis en tant que lien de solidarité. Bien, on va pas là-bas leur proposer quelque chose, ni les aider tant que ça. C'est, en fait, ils nous apprennent souvent plus qu'on leur apprend. Puis c'est plus essayer de faire le lien le plus horizontal possible entre le Nord et le Sud.
Est-ce que tu as quelque chose à ajouter pour les écouteurs?
Ouais, il faudrait étaler le Salon du Livre sur plus qu'un jour. Il y a trop de monde, c'est fou.